Madrasas, when they start you of the kitab, then they tell you what is the mawzu, what is this topic all about. Then they'll also tell you what's the object, so that your focus can remain right. So if they are teaching you a kitab on Nahu, right, Arabic grammar, then they want you to grasp the concepts very well. In the process of teaching some Nahu grammar, the hadith comes in to explain and elucidate, and a student wants to know about the hadith, authenticity, which kitab it's contained, what is the tashri' of the hadith, and are there any other ahadith to corroborate this? They will tell no, Rabbi, that you'll learn, but later on. Now we are just using this just to elucidate and just to explain this. So in tasawwuf, then if a person doesn't know what it is all about, we have just seen something or heard something or made up his own mind, and you'll come to the conclusion that this is bidat. Right? Now this is because he heard something or he's seen something or he imagined it to be like this. But when he gets to understand what it is all about, then he'll understand that it is one of the four important requirements of deen. So Jibreel Islam had asked, Mal Iman, Mal Islam, Mal Ihsan, and Mata As-Sa'. These are the four questions that he asked. So Iman and Islam, generally the details of it are taught in the madrasa. So that would refer to the physical structure of Islam. Iman and Islam talk about namaz, zakat, what you can see, perceive, and you can easily relate to. But there is another requirement or another pillar, and that pillar is called Ihsan. So Ihsan is to, literally it means to do something well, to do it well, to be good, right? To be good to someone and to do something well, this is what it means. So in order to live, you need a shelter, right? So that's the one side of it. It must be sheltered. Sheltered against what? Against the rain, against the sun. But now, you don't want to just have a roof over your head. You want some things that will make the house comfortable. You want to have doors, you'll have to have windows, you'll have to have fans, you'll have to have an aircon, you'll have a furnished kitchen, right? A toilet, a good water, healthy supply, electrical, right? Now, if you got the shelter but you don't have all these things here, then will that make your stay comfortable? It won't make your stay comfortable. So now that's Ihsan. So you want to do it and you want to do it well. Right? So this element of Ihsan, when it comes in, then what does it do to you? Then that brings about Dawam, that is a topic that was just read now, that you got the structure and now you want it to be consistent, you want to have a continuous plan. You don't want it to be just there for that moment, but you want it to be permanent. Right? So this aspect of ihsan brings about the continuity. Right? Like, to relate to our type of people, right? If it is food has been prepared, but totally bland, no salt, no spice, no pepper, nothing, right? You may eat it if you are starving, right? Starving and you eat it. Right? But can there be a continuous plan on that? So all these things are used. In Arabic they call it masalih, right? To improve, right? To enhance. When it's enhanced, then you want to eat it. And if it's not enhanced, then you will not want to be near it, right? So these things that will enhance the thing, that brings about the actual value, right? I talk about the different drinks that are available, right? You see it in its raw form, it doesn't have a real value. Like, look at the modern day coffee, right? So, what are the contents? It's milk, then it's some flavorant, right? These are the two main contents. So, the main thing, the base is the milk. Just that amount of milk that is required to make a cup of coffee, maybe less than 10 rands, right? That amount of milk, right? But now, you want to sell just that milk. Will it sell in a coffee shop? It can't sell, right? It has to have the ingredients prepared in a special way, presented in a nice way with that type of a utensil. Now it sells. So the value comes, then the value is proportionate to the flavorant. So that flavorant is called an ihsan. That is why Hercules, when he asked Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, do you see anybody turning away from his faith after accepting it? Then do you see anybody turning away? He said, no. So Hercules was a person who studied all his kitabs. Himself was a great alim, and he studied these books. So he says, that is the effect of iman. Kazalikal iman إِذَا دَخَلَتْ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ. That is the effect of iman, that iman goes right into the heart. When it goes right into the heart, then this continuity, then it continues, progresses, carries on. Then you won't find that person turning to apostasy. Person that turns to apostasy, turns away, is the person that didn't go up that lane. See? Went up that lane and he tasted the sweetness of iman, then he can't give it up. Then he knows what he's enjoyed, he knows the flavor, he knows the texture, he knows the beauty, and for him to leave it becomes difficult. So now this is now just of the tasawwuf, right? So you know what you are aiming for. Now then the second thing is then, what's the approach? How do you approach this thing? See, different sciences, then there are different approaches. You approach a certain science in a certain way to get a certain result, right? So you want to learn Nahu, a certain approach is required, a certain methodology is applied, then you get that type of results. You know the fil, you know the fa'il, you know the maf'ul, you know the hal, and you know how it goes, right? So you become compatible with the grammar and the laws pertaining to the grammar, you understand it, right? Then there's another science, for example, say, gymming or martial arts or building up your health, right? So if that's the intention, then there's a different approach. You can't learn Nahu to become a martial arts, to become good in gymming or bodybuilding. So there will be a whole different approach that will be used there, right? They will ask you first to detox all that toxins that are within you. You will have to detox all that. Right? And then some will tell you, alright, you will go into intermittent fasting. So you'll just have one meal in a day. And this is the things you're going to eat, and these are the things you're going to avoid. Right? So he's going to tell you all these things. Right? And now that's the approach. If you follow that approach, then you'll see certain type of results. Person has some chronic diseases, now he sees that the chronic diseases are all cleared up. Right? Why? He followed that plan. Now if he follows the plan and doesn't follow the plan, one day he's doing it, one day he's not doing it, and he says, you know, Dr. Saab, I'm with you for so long, but I don't see any good, I don't see results. So the doctor will ask him, did you follow the plan? Sometimes, then what do you expect? So understand what's the objective verse and then the approach. So now you know you're in line. Right? So the approach here is, first, on the akhlaq, right? So there are the human characteristics, right? That are found in everybody. And now you need to correct them. Now what are these human characteristics? They are there, sometimes they are dormant, sometimes they are active. Right? But it's there, you can't say it's not there. It's there within you. Sometimes it's active, sometimes it's passive, but it's within you. Now what are these things here? Now these are like things like, for example, arrogance, ostentation and show, greed, right? Malicious, right? Jealousy, right? Inordinate crave for wealth, is accumulating wealth. Right? So, then to be doing things just to acquire a name, right? So these are some of the wrongs. Then stinginess, right? Then similarly, self-admiration, right? These are all. So these are the razail, right? The wrongs, the inner wrongs, right? Then you get the inner rights. You got the inner wrongs, then you get the inner rights. The inner rights, what are they? The inner rights would be like sincerity, humility, then contentment, then gratitude, appreciation, right? Loving someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, or distancing yourself from someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, right? Now these are amongst the good qualities. These are the bad qualities, and these are the... So now the question is that why do they focus on these qualities? The good and the bad, right? Why do they work on this? So the reason they work on this is that once these things are rooted in you, then for you to escalate is very easy. Right? It creates the base for you to escalate, to grow up, and to see things in perspective. If Allah Ta'ala says something, you'll see it right. Because you got good qualities. One of the good qualities is submission and obedience and humility. So you'll just humble yourself. Right? So when this thing is rooted, then the ability, the potential to accept becomes very easy. The aptitude to receive these things becomes very easy. And if these things are not worked on properly, then you're going backwards. Going forward, and you're falling backwards, right? So this approach was applied in the past, say about 500 years ago, or 400 years ago, this was the approach that was applied. You came into a khanqa, they'll first detox you. All these akhlaq, this wrong akhlaq, they will get you out. So that's why you hear the story of the Abu Sa'id, right? And he goes to his father's murid, right? And the father's murid now puts him into the training. First he showed him a lot of respect. And then he says, I haven't come for this respect. I come to get that wealth, that treasure that you took from my father. So then, take off the clothing. Right? Now you go and clean the bath. And you won't attend any of the majlis. And then, number three is, you'll take care of the mess, and whatever is left over there, that's what you'll eat. Now, put him into a train, right? See that? So they'll start him off with all this type of akhlaq, get the akhlaq right. Understand yourself. Man arafa nafsahu, faqad arafa rabbahu. Before you were flying high, it was in your mind, all that was in your mind, I will come back to ground, coming to fix you up, correcting you, right? So you have to come right to the ground, to come to the workshop, to be corrected. You can't be moving and corrected straight away. Can that happen? It's difficult. Not that it's impossible, but it's difficult. Then he puts him into the training, and then you hear the story that that worker, she has got a basket full of filth, and some filth falls onto him. And he stared at her, and he said, Nahua Gango. And if you were only Gango, I would have fixed you up. See? So Sheikh said, hey, you still need some fixing up. You haven't built that aptitude yet. That aptitude is not yet. We want you to receive. But for you to receive, you need to have the aptitude. And you don't seem to have that aptitude, so you're not going to be progressing. Though I love you as the son of my sheikh, but now for you to progress, then you need to have that ability. And you don't have that ability, how you will progress? You want to do wrestling, right? You can't say, now my father was a wrestler, so automatically I become a wrestler. Can you say that? The training that he went through, you will have to go to the same training to become what he became. Though he was world famous, right? The whole world knew about him. But now, you can't just get it straight away. And if you get it straight away, you make a mess up. So you'll have to go through the whole process. Right? So you hear all these stories. These stories are for the training, you see. Same you have that Ghulam Ali. And you have that story where he's fanning the sheikh, and he had to say at one point that na is tarah se bane, na is tarah se bane. He said, So, what is this? I'm fanning him at a moderate pace, not working, at a fast pace, not working. I threw him out. You don't have it still. So what was he working in that time? I thought about the story, but what he was, if you look at Mawlana Rumi's work, his whole work is about you having the level of confidence in the Sheikh. Not even mental assistance and resistance. One is, you didn't resist or you have any hesitation outwardly. And one is, even mentally, you got no resistance. So when there's no resistance, then you come to the level of taslim and Islam. See? So whatever Allah Pak says, then let it be. But now first you have to go to the training to have that ability to accept. See, these are all found in the Quran. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ. You don't find any resistance in the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now, if you're not there, then you can't gain that type of spiritual effulgence. You can't get that. Try what you want, you're not going to get there. See, this whole ayat was revealed. Zubair got a farm, and Ansari has got a farm. So, there's a river that is feeding both the farms. Zubair's farm and the Ansari's farm. But the law is this, that whose farm comes first, he's got the right to feed his farm. He's got the right to water his farm. Because as the river is moving, then my farm comes first. So the first farmer will divert the flow into his farm. So for that duration, the neighbor is not going to get water. See how it works? Coming down, so he has diverted the flow to his farm, so the neighbor is not going to get it. So the neighbor objected. Zubair says, my right. And I got the right because I am first in the line. And I am first in the line, like how you're standing in the line. The one that stands first, he has got the first right. You can't jump the line. It is right for you to jump the line. So, same will apply here. The person whose farm comes first, he's got the first right to divert the water into his farm. When he's taken a satisfactory amount of water, then he allows the water to flow. Right. So, this neighbor is not happy with this. When he's not happy with this, so he complained. The case comes up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed him something like an arrangement out of court. Alright. So Zubair, you don't take your full capacity. See, the full capacity is to this level. Right? Right, just about, see, 25 or 30 centimeters. That's the full capacity. So you don't take your full capacity. What you will do is, you will moisten the roots, keep it all moist, say half or less than half amount, keep the thing wet and moist, and then allow the flow to continue to your neighbor. So that was an out of court settlement. So this neighbor complains, and he says, in Kana ibn Ammatik. So you said this just because he's your cousin. He's objecting to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You gave this just because Zubair is your cousin. So now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Zubair, now you take your full. Because this person doesn't understand that this was a consideration in his favor. He's not appreciating. So now you go and take the full and then let it pass. But now you see, that's the time when that verse was revealed. La yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimuka. The iman isn't right until they appoint you to judge in all their decisions. And then, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. And they find no resistance in your decisions. Now, we are talking to the normal Muslim, right? And we tell him, all right, this type of business is not right. Will you take it easily? Will you take it easily? See, that means there is some weakness. If that iman was strong, iman was right, then as he hears the decision of the beast person, he gives it up and he feels a feeling of remorse. Okay, why to get into this thing here? Which was not approved by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why to get into it? But now that iman is not made, then he finds a resistance within himself to accept. And Allah Pak says, then that means your iman is not right. See that? La yu'minu hatta yuhakkimu. So that is why you see in Rum's Kitab, right, it says one of the keys, you want to open up the road. One of the keys is just to listen to the Shaykh. Whether mentally you're in agreement or you're not in agreement, but just listen to him. So then the Shaykh finds it very easy to take you along. But now everything he's telling you and you got a story about it, right? Then the journey becomes very, very arduous, very difficult, right? Like you see now, there are different diet plans, right? I said intermittent fasting, right? There's another higher grade of fasting, to reset your whole body, right? To reset your whole body, then they will ask you not to eat for 36 hours. then drink water, plain water only. But not to eat anything for 36 hours. Now you come and ask the doctor, but can I take some Sprite? A little bit of Coke. Can I do this? But he'll ask you, you want to be in or out? And if the Mawlana is there, but Mawlana says, but hey, you know, you're stopping us from halal. من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج العباد والطيبات من الرزق. طيبات, Allah didn't make haram. Why are you stopping? The Mawlana told the Mawlana mind. See, he asked now, why? So you want to achieve a certain goal, and to achieve a certain goal, you have to follow certain procedures. Because you can see now that the system isn't right. And the system is not right, certain things that are permissible, but we just leave them out for some time. So now, here in the Khanqa, we tell the people, right, now you got disputes and all that, come after Ramadan. Discussions, disputes, easy talk, etc., right, casual talks, that you postpone it for after Ramadan. So now someone says, but you know, to settle a person's problem is a great reward. To speak nicely to friends, that's also a great reward. Now, everything that is presented to him, he's got some resistance. Can he move? He can't move. You can see that there's something that is within him. And he needs to just let go of the thing to be able to move. Hazraji Ramadan's approach was one. The sheikhs, both the approaches were quite close. But the time that you are there, that he doesn't want you to be contacting anybody. Just do your work. Just focus on your work without any type of mental resistance as well. Your work, Hazrat was even more strict. You have your own meals. Don't eat jointly, right? Like how normally you eat jointly. Don't even eat jointly. Get your own meals. You eat and eat separately. So they knew why they were doing this. They were trying to get a certain mind. See, to, you know, in this word they say, you want to reset your mind. The mind is in a certain way, and what they desire is to reset your mind. So in order to reset your mind, they have to get you to think correctly. So you can't ask now, why are you stopping me from meeting? Can't. When I was there in Jalalabad, so a South African Jamaat had come in. So I gave the whole Kal Guzari, the report to Azaji, that this Jamaat came in and to not to hurt them, you know, Dil Shikni, not to hurt them, I took them around, I hosted them, all that, whatever. So, the way to progress is to be fair, to be open, to be fair, and take the director from the senior. Now, if you're not going to be open, or you're not going to be honest, or you're being honest but you don't want to take what he's saying, then you can't. So Hazrat's reply was, Dusro ki dil shikni se zyada aham apni deen shikni hai. More important than worried about the next person's feelings is to be worried about your deen. Now that became a lesson for my entire life. One is his feelings and one is breaking deen. You're breaking your heart and you're breaking deen. So what's more important? So he reset in my mind. Now, before that, had I not reported this, then would I have received the correction? I received the correction if I reported it. See? So here, what's required is that level of honesty, and then application. But the honesty and the application only can come when you are being honest, and without any resistance, you are applying. Then you can get it. And if one of these two elements are missing out, then you don't want to get it right. So the whole book of Imam Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah is based on this. And nearly every khanqa, they use this. They use it as a base. They will build up from there, but that's a basis. Right? Not that Mawlana Rum wasn't aware of the hadith, he was aware. But he's taking on a certain path. is preparing you that you can accept the hadith fully. Right? It's preparing you that the ayat of the Quran Sharif must just come into you straight away without any reservation. Right? No reservation. You're taking it and you're taking it straight. So they'll put you into your pieces. One person is by the Shaykh Ahmad Talib. And now whilst he's the senior alim, the Shaykh al-Hadith, and Hazrat Rahmatullah got upset. What happened? In the time that he's in the Khanqa, he's doing his own correspondence. You know, you've got phones and you're doing your own thing. Now, is your mind focused in the whole program? So Hazrat got upset with the person. Now, you'll ask, you know, to meet a person, and to meet a person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, what a great sawab it is. Now, can the person move? Can't move. So he's resetting the mind, and the reset of the mind requires, now just leave everything. And that is why the beginning of Nubuwwat is with seclusion. Ubbiba ilayyal khalaw. Why? You can break away from people. And you think, you know, I won't break away. I'll do my work and I won't break away. Now can you achieve this thing? That means are you objecting to the hadith? Ubbiba ilayyal khalaw. Right? Now someone can say also, alright, but this was just at the beginning. No. Bukhari Sharif, that even afterwards, at times the Beast of Sam used to go into seclusion. Right? Aisha reports a hadith that the Beast had asked her to get that camel prepared for him going out, right? Just be kind to that animal, because Muharrama, it's not a trained horse, it's not a trained camel, so you have to be a little bit gentle with it. And in the rifqa la yakunu fi shayin, when softness is applied to any situation, you improve it. And use aggression, then you spoil things. See, that's where the hadith came in. See? So all these things are found in the hadith. But it is that now, we want the hadith to be working like how we want it to be. So can it work that? So that requires a little bit, sometimes you seclude yourself. So you reset yourself, you restructure yourself. Your mind is restructured, you reset it yourself. Now you're seeing things in a different perspective. Now things are just working, just going. So the khankas will be the same. Maybe the approach may be a little bit more firm here and more gentle there, but the idea is the same. Now that is for the person who wants to progress. But a person doesn't want to progress, then he just wants a basic program, you know. He doesn't want an intense program. So if the person wants a basic program, you'll just give a basic thing, do this, carry on. But that person now wants a basic program. But now the person that wants to progress, the program is different. See that? But I say again, that to get this thing right, you need to get the base right. And the base is that akhlaq. And explain what is the akhlaq. That's the base, that's the foundation. You got that right, then you can put up any amount. But you don't have that right, and putting up a beautiful structure, what's going to happen? You don't have the... Some few years ago, in Randev, they put a big building, 20 stories. The rain, something came, and I think the whole thing collapsed. So they had the engineers to go and survey the whole thing, what happened. Foundation wasn't right. Put a very shallow foundation for a 20-story building. One rain came and smashed the whole thing down. See that? So the same happens here, that you're going very well, but without a foundation. But there's no foundation, then something happens and the whole thing gets... See that? See, that's what that Hercules said. كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا دَخَلَتْ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ. When it goes inside, then nothing can shake you. Nothing, no wealth can shake you. No name and fame, nothing can shake you. Because you're so well rooted. See, now this hadith becomes, then hadith and the Quran becomes a play. So someone will say that, you know, you can't have a compromising attitude in halat, when there are situations before you, you can't have a compromising attitude. Now to support this, you bring out a hadith. I see when the tasawwuf is not there, then the hadith becomes a plea. So he says, you know, those, that whole jamaat of sahaba kiram, 100, 200, whatever they were apprehended by a kafir king, right? And he made certain proposals. He said, alright, I'll give you half of my kingdom, but you must become a Christian. I'll give you half my kingdom, but marry my princess, marry the princess, but you must be a Christian. And he's turning everything down, right? And if you're not going to listen to this, then I'll throw you into a boiling pot of oil. Not listening. At length now, the king saw that I'm not going to get anything out of this person here. So he says, alright, at least kiss my forehead. Right? So he asked, the freedom will be only for me or for the whole jamaat, 200, 300 people, it's going to fall. So then he kissed the forehead. See now, you compromised. It was not a compromise. This was ikrah, what? Coercion. In a coercion, you're even allowed to eat haram. This was even a milder thing than eating haram. In fact, when you are under that state of compulsion, right? Coercion, right? When you're in that state, right? Then it becomes compulsory for you to eat that. If you don't eat that, you die, you're sinful. It was haram, right? And they're holding you at gunpoint, eat this, otherwise it'll kill you. If you don't eat that haram, then you'll be sinful. See that? There are certain cases of coercion where you can't relent and you give in, and certain cases of coercion that you can't relent. Right? For example, now, they hold you under gunpoint, and they say, make zina with this girl here. You can't. Not right. Even if you die, you won't be sinful. Right? They hold you under gunpoint, and they tell you, kill this person here. So you can't listen. And certain places, when you under that duress, then it's compulsory to just give in, ask you to eat. So you ate of that thing. So if you didn't eat of it and you died, then you become sinful. You ate it and you saved your life, then you say, he's not sinful. So here it was a case of coercion, it's duress, it is compulsion, right? When it's compulsion and you give in, then it's not a sin. See that? So you can see this sahaba, and what were the circumstance, and under the circumstance they did this. Now you go and use this hadith again to show, no, you must compromise in deen, etc., etc., right? Is that reasoning, is that substantiating right? You're substantiating it right, or proving it right. See that? So the hadith in the Quran Sharif without ihsan becomes a plaything. See that? And when you got this now, say, you don't want to take a chance. Alright, will Allah be pleased? Will the beast doesn't be pleased? Why am I doing it for my pleasure? Azadi used to give this story quite often, used to give it. See, when you train your nafs, it's a whole procedure. It's not just one, 2 days work. Nafs is a difficult thing to work. You cannot say, no, I worked on it once, so that nafs cannot trouble me any longer. You can't say that. Can't say, no, I fixed my car, I sent it for service once, now it's going to last lifelong. Can you say that? You keep checking the thing. I think, you know, something going to break down, fix it up again. Go, come, go, come, go, come. Some things you know, and some things you don't know. If you don't know about the thing, then are you going to take a chance with your motor car? You got a very expensive appliance, and you don't know exactly. So are you going to take a chance? You don't want to take a chance. Now, you know, take it to someone that knows about it, then I'm feeling at ease. So the same on your nerves, that thing is going to keep playing with you. It's not that you fix it up once, and you fished it for good. See, so that you should give the story, but you understand these things in perspective. But that's the wrong that we got. Nafs is not made, and we want everything to be like how we want it. The person comes to the Khanqah, and the Shaykh tells him, you leave the recitation of the Quran Sharif. You just work on Kalima, nothing else. And if you happen to be a doctor, you will not see any patients for this duration. So obviously the people of the town say, hey, what type of a Shaykh can't read Quran Sharif, can't even see sick people? See. But now he wanted to reset the mind. And in order to reset the mind, he asked him to do this. But now the person that is administrating, he knows what he's doing. It mustn't be a chance, right? No, this is called Khilafah today, and you should try to experiment. No, can't work. Because the Khilafah nowadays is given very easily, right? When it's given very easily, then these high-profile cases, you can't work with them straight. It's a high-profile case, and you need to be high-profile to work on that case. Now you just started this thing here, and now you're going to work on the high-profile cases, what will happen? See, it will cause a problem. One woman phoned up, seemed like a young woman. I want to be in seclusion, very private. I want to have a private meeting. Nobody must be there. No, you won't. You come with your husband, or let your husband come and tell the whole case. No. She's insisting. Then she says now, but I had one sheikh, you know, previously he's passed on, but I should talk to him in total seclusion. What do you see? So he can't be a sheikh that is just a novice. He must be very well rooted, very, very well rooted. He knows the ups and the downs, he knows his whole journey. Then he can take you, right? But he doesn't know this thing here, then he's chancing. Like a person doesn't know the masail, and he's now acting as a mufti and giving a fatwa. What's going to happen? They say, that's a problem. Either you don't have the confidence of the person, or you don't know it yourself. The sheikh doesn't know it himself, or the murid doesn't have that level of confidence on the sheikh. If he had this thing here, then he would have gone wrong. Now, the sheikh had to be alert now. He's going to object to this, he's going to object to this, what answer I'm going to give. So you don't have that level of confidence, you can't progress. Why did you do this? Why you went here? Why you spoke to that person? Because if he had that level of confidence, would he have spoken like this? He would have spoken. So he doesn't have that level of confidence. Therefore, every step of the journey is what problem is. See that? Because he doesn't have that level of confidence. Right? So that's why nowadays they say, because people's minds are very weak, right? They can't digest. Then the better thing is they come for short periods of time, not lengthy periods of time. Because they'll see something that is not consistent with their thinking, and they're having doubts. So the sheikh also will try these people out. So one sheikh now, there's two murids that come in to take bayat, right? So the sheikh's name is Sadiq. So the sheikh says, all right, say, La ilaha illallah, Sadiq Rasulullah. One person said, yeah, I can't see this. And the second person said, Sadiq Rasulullah. So the sheikh asked this person, but how do you say Sadiq Rasulullah? He said, see, sometimes the mubtada can be muqaddam, and sometimes it can be muakhir. Rasulullah is sadiqun. Is that right now? Yeah? But the mubtada can be sometimes muakhir, sometimes muqaddam. Now that first person, he understood, oh, even, Hazrat, now take me. So time is gone, finish. You don't have the confidence. See? So when you don't have that confidence, you can't progress. Now the sheikh can't go and explain every nitty-gritty before the patient, right? You're coming to a doctor, a specialist. The specialist got a big queue of patients, right? And you want a whole explanation. The doctor said, "Bye. You want all that? You go somewhere else. Then you'll just take this. You have the trust in me. Now take you along. It's not a difficult thing. Now I want a detailed explanation. Right? Go find some other doctor. See that? So now you want a detailed explanation, right? As it is, you're hardly coming properly. But everything must give a detailed explanation. Why you're wasting his time, wasting your time. Then you based your whole progress on some experience. I had this experience, I saw this, I saw that, I saw that. So I'm making a lot of progress. So is that the base? Is that the gauge to have an experience? Is that the gauge? See that? See the confusion that comes in. So now, that's what my room says, that this is the problem, that the desired amount of confidence, what's the level of confidence you need to have, that's not found in people, and therefore, someone is going, making about a level of progress, 5% progress, and there is jammed up, he can't go after it. Someone 20%, and then he's jammed up, he can't go beyond that. Someone 40%, 50%, and he can't go beyond that. Some person, his share passed on, so he made some progress, and he just got stagnated there. Can't go beyond that. So there are very few, there are a handful of people who make it right at the end. Otherwise, 5%, 10%, 40%, and then they get stagnated at that point. It's a very small handful, very, very small. So we're speaking about the nafs and how hard it is to work on that thing. So you don't think, no, I got it right, so I got it right for good. Don't think that. So Hazrat is giving this story, you know. Says the one person is there. In the Jama Masjid, Delhi. So Juma namaz, people are coming out. Jama Masjid got a capacity of over 25,000. So they've got different entrances. Yeah, in this masjid, I think maximum you can take right to the end of the wall, maybe 700, right to the end of the wall. And yet you have got three exits and entrances, right? Now you've got 25,000, then you can understand how it is. They say, Mashriki Janib, Maghribi Darwaza, they've used all these things here. So one of those entrances, one person is saying, okay, you're not my Rabb, and I'm not your slave. Why must I listen to you? And the musallis are just passing out, just passing on, and everybody is saying, he's a kafir, mushrik, kya ho gaya iska? Carried on. At the end, now one person says, ask him who is he speaking to. So this person says, afsos, ke puri Delhi mein bas ek hi samajhdar aadmi hai. In the whole of Delhi, he is getting one person of understanding. This is the understanding of deen. Yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihu fi deen. Allah gives you that special understanding. A special understanding doesn't only mean to fiqhi issues, no. Fiqhi issues and batini issues. Otherwise, this is now an istidlal that is incorrect. The reasoning is incorrect. Why did you have a selective approach that only fiqh issues? Because the batin is also a deen, the zahir is also deen. When both are deen, then why do you have a selective approach? See that? So you covered both the batin issues and the zahir issues. Now you are on par. So he's asking now, what he's saying, tu mera rab nahi, main tera gulam nahi. To main teri baat ko kyun manu? See that? So you need this class of people who've got that higher level. And that's Allah Pak's way that very high understanding is given to selective people. Like you see the imams in fiqh is only four, right? 25 years, only four. And the more prominent imams in hadith also four, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmizi, and Imam Abu Dawud, rahmatullah. You see that? But there are so many people, but imams, Allah Pak just selected four. You see that? To dispense hidayat. See? And where that comes from? مَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُدِلِّينَ عَدُدًا. Person that takes people astray, then we don't appoint him to dispense hidayat, right? If you dispense hidayat, so what must be the quality of the person? مَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُدِلِّينَ عَدُدًا. Right? The person that is going off, we don't appoint him to dispense hidayat. So that means that higher level of hidayat is very, very, very it's nowadays they say, you know, it's just brought to so many people. Two people, three people, four people, but that's it. And not more than that. You see that? So now, eventually when they said, that ask him, who is he referring to? Now the word was shortlisted, what? Nowadays it's shortlisted. You know, there's so many people that are professional, but you are not the guys there. It is shortlisted. That's the youth nowadays. So they asked him now, who are you speaking to? He says, afsos ke pure Delhi mein bas ek hi hoshiyar samajhdar aadmi hai. Only one person. But you see the multitude, and they can't understand him. So their understanding was limited. So you understand that this gift of understanding is not so easily available. You'll get it, but you have to go through a certain procedure, then you get that understanding. In Dioman, one istifta came, right? Istifta was, the question was, person goes to a tobacconist, right? I understand what you mean, the tobacconist. You may think now, you know, you've got this cannabis shops, but it's something like that. No, no, it's not like that. These pan shops are called tobacconists. Why? One of the things that they sell is tobacco. Why tobacco? Because tobacco is used as an ingredient in pan, and some people use it to just chew on, right? Right? They chew on the pan, or they chew on the tobacco. So you get a tobacconist shop, right? So customer comes in, I want a tobacco. If it's too mild, give me something harder, stronger. But in tobacco, in Urdu, they call it usse zyada karwa, what? Bitter. In English, we may say strong, but this is a very strong blend. It's a mild blend, right? Right. So, when we were children, we had a shop in tea room, right, selling cigarettes. So, we knew at that time, customers would say, Stuyvesant is very mild. It was Lexington. That is strong. So, they interpreted as strong and mild, right? And in Urdu, they won't say strong, they say karwa, bitter. So the customer says, give me something stronger, give me something more karwa, bitter. Give me a second one, third one. Now, whatever the tobacconist had, he showed him everything. So at the end, the tobacconist had to tell him, usse zyada karwa to khuda ka naam. More bitter than this is the name of Allah Ta'ala. Now straight away the istifta came to the woman. This is what the tobacconist said. Does it take him out of Islam? And Mufti Sahib had to answer that one. Now the woman is, they don't just make takfir like that. They won't declare a person kafir. Right? If anybody is saying that the woman is making takfir, then he's mixed up himself. They don't just make takfir like that. You know, when they come right to the to the edge, you know, where there's no way to escape. Then they will say, even Qadiani, they didn't declaim as a kafir at the beginning. But when they saw now that this person is going to mislead multitudes of people, at the end they said he's a kafir. But not just randomly, right? Now people think, no, he's making takfir. Because why? Because he's not kail of tasweer, therefore he's making takfir. So these are extremists. People that make the statements are extremists. They don't understand things in perspective. And they make this type of fleeting statements. It creates a confusion. Now this question had to come to Deoband. So Mufti Sahib had to answer that. He says, see, in tobacco, right, what is desired is the strength, right? That's a desired quality. So what the tobacconist, what he meant, the strongest is Allah Ta'ala. Inna Allah huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. That's what he meant, right? He used the word karwa, but what he was implying, strong, the strength. So because he was implying strength, so you won't call him a kafir. So they'll try and save his life as far as possible. They won't just issue fatwa like that. So sometimes what happens, and what happens today is, deen has become a political thing. I must be able to score points against you, and you must be able to score points against me. So the honesty in deen is gone. So it becomes a political thing. So there's distrust. Why it becomes a political thing? So anyway, now coming back to this one here, who says yada karwa to khuda ka naam? No, I explained that. Usko poochho ke wo kisse baat kar rahe. Ask him who is he referring to. So at length he said, I'm referring to myself. What? My nafs is demanding a certain thing. And I'm blankly refusing it. That I am in no ways going to support my nafs. Because I'll give in to one thing, tomorrow you want something else, the next day you want something else. Then can I maintain the balance? Can I maintain the equilibrium? Can I maintain it? I can't maintain it. Why? Because you open the roads to comforts and luxuries, and the luxury became a necessity. Now, can he do without him now? So I'm not going to open that road, just keep him at his place so I can control him correctly. I open all the roads to all luxuries, right? Now that luxury that was supposed to be a luxury became a necessity. Became a necessity, now can he live without it? Like sometimes I explain to the youngsters nowadays, that now and then use a fan. Now and then do without a fan. But now they become so addicted to an aircon, they can't live. Must have an aircon. And the aircon must be at 18 degrees. Then you get a whole host of complaints. That you go on to some masjid, it's 18 degrees, 19 degrees. Some persons can agree, some persons can't agree. Now, those that can't agree, what must they do? And those that want it at that, what must they do? So they became addicted to these things. See, when they became addicted, now it becomes difficult. But now you have it as a luxury, have it, and don't have it. So if there's a call for jihad, now you're not looking for, I must have an air-conditioned room. You can't do jihad, can you do jihad then? Huh? One person was in the Russian-Afghani war, you know. So he's telling me, he gave me his Kalguzari, at times now, that muddy water, we had to sift the thing and drink the thing, just to sustain life. It was mud, pure mud. Right? But we had to sift the thing and drink the thing just to sustain life. But now, we became addicted to luxuries. Can you do all these things? So that's why they say, the luxury, just keep it as a luxury. When you need it, you eat it, you take it, but don't make it a habit, you must have it. I was more time someone to say, the one that becomes addicted to luxury, that wo deen ka kaam nahi kar sakta. He can't do deen ka kaam. Why? Because he's addicted now. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he came to Gujarat. And he was a great thinker of the time. Orator and a good thinker. So he came to Gujarat, obviously he'll come to one madrasa, second madrasa, whole program. So now he saw that the madrasa has got coolers, you know, for giving cool water to the students. But Kai Sahib didn't like this thing. He said, these children are coming from villages, right, where they have to bring water from a distance of a kilometer, 2 kilometers, right? And they don't know what is a cooler, they don't know what is a fridge, they don't know all these things here. And you're giving them this type of treatment here, will they be able to go and work in their villages after graduation? Can they go and do? So keep them at that level, at a simple level, not that you keep them starving and sickly, but keep them at a simple level, so that when they return back to their villages, they still can perform and work. Otherwise, came out of the village, now they're looking for posh areas. You know, Belito would look for work there, or look for work in Amshlanga. Amshlanga and Belito, take the maximum they can take 4 or 5 alims. After that, Dusroka kya hoga? What will happen to the rest? So if they went on a style of simplicity, then irrespective of the circumstance, they can still function. But now you did the thing very well, and they got addicted to this, can they go back into the villages and work? Brother, what's going to happen to the multitudes of people in their villages? So Kari Sahib didn't like this thing, to make them addicted to luxuries. So you see this nafs, and you see this old tasawuf, how it starts off, how it works. Allah Pagrara Sufi.